Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
Fred, three.
Three, the number three.
This program is brought to you by the number three.
The number three. We promised we'd talk about it last show, but
yes.
Hey, we didn't get a chance to talk about it because we talked about this temperature in the universe.
There's not only evidence of preferred planes in the universe through the Milky Way galaxy, but through the ecliptic, the plane of the planets around the sun, and even based on the Earth's orbit around the sun and the tilt of our axis.
Wow. So we are the center of the universe.
It's
for sure.
The center of God's attention.
The triune God.
Yeah.
And hence the number three.
Yes. And so on today's program, we want to talk about the number three in creation. But Fred, you said you got an email from one of our listeners. And I did want to just mention this mantis shrimp that we've talked about on the show, because some of the latest discoveries with this mantis shrimp in their eyes is blowing everybody's mind.
And I love this creature. He's kind of the Darth Vader of the saltwater enthusiast world because, you know, it's also called the thumb splitter. Mm. So we talked about that, this amazing catapult mechanism it has. If you put one of these in your saltwater tank, a lot of times you don't want them in there and they end up in there by mistake because you buy this live rock to kind of get your water stable and get the biology in there all right, you know, the ecosystem.
Yeah.
Well, if you buy that rock and you don't what's called cure it, then it might have one of these mantis shrimp in it. And if you start to hear a clicking sound, and then you start losing fish.
Tell your fish to run.
To start vanishing from the tank.
You know how humans pass out at 10 Gs?
Yeah.
Well, this shrimp has this catapult mechanism that can accelerate up to 10,000
Gs. 10,000 Gs.
And it kills its prey.
Yeah.
So Jonathan Sarfati at CMI, he wrote this updated article on mantis shrimp. This is exciting. So before we get to the email that you received, if we could just remind the audience, not only does it have the catapult mechanism, but then it has remarkable light-sensitive cells that are blowing engineers away.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're just stunned by this mantis shrimp because it goes beyond the visible spectrum of light. You know how we could see the rainbow of light?
Yes.
Well, it goes from near ultraviolet to infrared. Human beings, we have an ability, you know, to track light and all. Nothing like these creatures. Nothing like it. And so engineers have been trying to transfer the same technology into our DVD players. And remember when they introduced fiber optics, Fred, and everybody was so excited, like back in the 70s, computer data went down a fiber optic line.
Yeah.
Like a grease pole.
A lot more information.
Fast. Because they were sending it on photons of light.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember the first rates. I used to work for the phone company back when Ma Bell broke up in 1984. I worked for a few years at US West. And then I went to Microsoft in Redmond in their networking department. So I was always very interested in data throughput rates. And I remember in the 70s, it was like 45 megabits per second.
Yeah.
Mbps.
So this thing, so impressive. It can improve our technology of storing information, for example. I mean, I work for a company that we build memory devices, you know, like they've done hard drives, which uses magnetism. Mm-hmm. And it all boils down to a one or a zero in a bit.
Yeah.
Well, now they use quantum effects for these NAND devices, your little thing that you plug into your computer, your thumbstick.
Yeah.
This technology that they're getting from this mantis shrimp because of this huge spectrum of light it can see. So they're doing this thing called, you know, biomimicry, where they're looking at God's creation. Now, a lot of these people don't admit it's God's creation, but they'll take these wonderfully created creatures and try to emulate what they're doing because, man, the storage capacities will just continue to increase if they can mimic this.
Mm-hmm. I remember, like, they were getting these rates of 45 million bits per second, you know, Mbps. Yeah. If you ever see a capital M and then BPS, if you ever see a capital M and a capital B, that's million bytes per second.
Yep.
But usually data is megabits, right? And so then by the 80s, it wasn't 45 megabits per second. Now it was up to like 1.6 billion bits per second. And then it went to 2.7 billion gigabits per second. Then, like around the turn of the century, we're talking terabits per second. I think now we're up to something like 14 terabits per second, 14 trillion of those ones or zeros per second. Mm-hmm. And what they started doing was they started adding different colors. Like at first, blue light going on the fiber optic cable. Like, wow, look how much data. And then one of the engineers said, well, what if we also put green light on the same cable? And they're like, no, come on. No, really, we can do it. And it won't even interfere with the blue light.
It wouldn't.
So they put both colors. They double their throughput. Then they add red light. And pretty soon, you know, we're taking back the rainbow.
Yeah, the rainbow. That's right. We'll talk about that later, the number three, right?
That's right. With these mantis shrimp, now they are making really advanced discoveries. They're finding out that there are these nanorods, these cell membranes in the eye of the shrimp that are rolled up into tiny tubes, nanorods. And they're actually engineers at the University of Taipei over in Taiwan. They are duplicating this and they are putting nanorods into technology. And they're saying that they're expecting dramatic improvements.
Yeah, absolutely.
In what we could store data-wise.
Yeah. Amazing.
That is fun stuff.
All from this thumb splitter, as it's called by the saltwater guy.
This lowly creature that God just poured his brilliance into this mantis shrimp.
Yep.
Wow. So then you got an email, you said.
So, Bob, I got an email from a listener, a new listener in Springfield, Missouri, Larry.
Cool, cool.
And he had a really good point. He said, you know, I was just reading the other day about this pygmy whale that was a surprise. You could tell it was a surprise to the secular news reporter who was talking about it. And it's because it's another one of these living fossils. It was supposed to be extinct 2 million years ago.
Living fossils.
And so they found something that was extinct. This thing's extinct. And oops,
it's alive.
We found one.
Like the coelacanth fish that was supposed to be extinct for, I forget how many tens of millions of years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now the pygmy whale. Fred, we did a show on this topic at realscienceradio.com/living fossils. Mm-hmm. And whenever we give a URL like that, just put a hyphen between the words. So realscienceradio.com/living-fossils. Yeah. And we did that with Dr. Carl Werner. And we, in fact, on our science store, we sell Dr. Werner's fabulous DVDs. He's got two DVDs, Living Fossils and on Evolution, just tremendous.
So thanks, Larry. We can add another one to our list.
Yeah, we'll add that to the Living Fossils show summary.
Great.
So that is great, Larry. So Fred, now we should get to the number three.
The number three.
It seems like, you know, there are three places in which men live, seems to me. We live in heaven, those who've died and trust, love the Lord. We live in hell, those who've died and said, I don't love God. I don't want to be with God. So God made us to live forever.
So there's the non-smoking and the smoking section.
I guess you can put it that way. God has given us the opportunity to love him or not.
Yeah.
He's a healthy God. Like a healthy man is not going to force a woman to love him. Right? So God says, look, you could love me or not. And if you don't love me, you could live in a place where I'm not there. So I won't be there to bother you. We just call that place hell.
Mm-hmm.
That's living without God. And then here on earth. So there are three places.
Kind of in between heaven and hell, our time, our temporal time here on earth.
Yeah.
That's one of the three.
And you mentioned in promoting this segment that God is a triune God, the Trinity.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Right. And so when God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, the reason for the plurality is because God is a triune God. He's not a Unitarian God like Allah.
Yeah.
Allah would be Unitarian. And
so in the beginning, God created? What does it say there? What's the Hebrew?
What a good question. Genesis 1:1, actually, the Hebrew word for God is the plurality.
The plurality.
But the verb created is the singular. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning, the plurality of God, he created.
Yes.
The heavens and the earth. So when God said he'll make man in his image, in his likeness, you know, there's this thing about men being body, soul, spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So if we think about that and the number three, the first thing we look at before we get to the physical universe is the Bible. And doesn't the number three come up in the most amazing ways in the Bible?
Oh, absolutely. It does. For example, Christ was 3 days in the tomb. Jonah's 3 days
foreshadowing,
yep.
right? Christ in the tomb.
Yep.
Remember, Abraham was 3 days of thinking he would sacrifice his son Isaac on. And you know what, Fred? It turns out that is on the same hill called Golgotha, the skull, and Mount Moriah.
Yeah.
We have a DVD called Mount Moriah, Evidence for the Resurrection. It's just so powerful.
And Israel's three patriarchs are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whom they, you know, the nation Israel came from.
Three patriarchs. The priestly tribe, that's the tribe that is the mediator between God and man. The priestly tribe of Levi is from Jacob's third child.
Yeah. And Leviticus is the third book of the Bible. And this is interesting. The day the law was given, the sons of Levi killed about 3,000 men.
3,000 died the day the law was given.
Yeah, the day the law was given. And then, whereas the day the Spirit was given, that day about 3,000 souls were saved. And that's in Acts, of course.
Acts chapter 2. So you compare Acts with the Holy Spirit and Exodus, the giving of the law, 3,000 were killed, 3,000 were saved. And as Paul writes, the law kills, but the Spirit gives life.
That's right. And the Hebrew scriptures, they're comprised of three sections, the law, the prophets, and the writings.
I love that. God created three archangels, the three women in the Bible who are most notable, without question, are Eve, Sarah, and Mary. Mm-hmm.
The Magi brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
It is really fun, isn't it, Fred? The three persons, you know, one being the Son, three persons started their public service at 30 years of age. We read about Joseph, who was a deliverer of his people, about David, who sat on the messianic throne. And then, if I could quote from Luke 3:23, Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age. So three people in the Bible beginning their public ministry at 30 years of age.
Yeah, and then in the book of Esther, which is a really cool book of the Bible, you know what that...
We have a verse-by-verse study through Esther,
Oh,
Fred.
Do you? Oh, that'd be awesome.
And it's available. You know, we talk about our science department. Well, just click on our Bible study department, and it's there, and it's a fun study.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to hear that. I'm not sure if I've got that one, but that's the one with the Hitler of the Old Testament in that story.
Yeah, that's right. To kill all the Jews.
To kill all the Jews. And, well, Esther was told to fast not 2 days or 4 days, but how many?
3 days.
3 days.
And, you know, God, you mentioned Jonah before.
Yep.
God could have kept Jonah in the whale for a day or a week, but 3 days and three nights prefigured God's plan for salvation because Jesus Christ, his time in the grave. So Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15:4, that Jesus rose again the third day according to the scriptures.
Well, you know, and the number three also... the producer's waving at me.
What's Jamie?
Hi, Jamie.
Jamie? Hi, Jamie.
Well, you know, Bob, I think that you can...
You never join in. You're the board operator.
I try to stay neutral. I'm the observer, Bob.
Okay.
I don't want to judge.
Okay.
You know, you can go all the way back to Genesis 1 and find a plethora of threes right there in the very first chapter. In the creation week, you have the heaven, the earth, and the waters. You have how many kinds of plants? You have grass. You have green herbs that bear seeds. And you have plants, the fruit that have seeds in them. How many types of heavenly bodies? You have the sun, the moon, and the stars. Mm. How many types of living creatures do you have? You have animals that fly in the air, animals that swim in the water, and animals that live on the land.
That's pretty cool,
that
Jamie.
That is pretty cool. Wow. I never thought of these.
No, me neither.
Of the animals that live on the land, there are three kinds. There are the cattle, there are the things that creep on the earth, and there are the beasts of the field. And they are specifically distinct set of three. And of course, implied is on day six, the creation of man, who we understand from Scripture to be triune as well. And that's six sets of threes on the 6 days of creation, the creation being created for man, and the number of man is six.
You are a full service board op.
Yeah.
If I can throw one extra in there in the next couple chapters, we understand there were three commandments given in the Garden of Eden.
Three commandments.
Three commandments.
Wow.
Be fruitful and multiply.
Yeah.
tend the garden.
Tend.
If Adam had not done that, he would have been disobeying God. And do not eat of the one tree.
Wow.
Oh, interesting.
Three commandments. You know,
that is so great.
And Fred, I'm really impressed. You know, I'm not that good at thinking of threes. I mean, my thought of threes is, hey, God must be a football fan because, you know, field goals are 3 points. I mean, that's lame. That's so good stuff.
So thank you, Jamie, for that. And hey, feel free to barge in anytime, Jamie. Fred, Jamie's right. God, in his word, puts the number three everywhere. And so we see the triune Christian God, the mystery of the Trinity, three persons in one God. And that is the one God whose testimony we can trust because, you know, the Bible speaks of having two or three witnesses. Mm-hmm. And when you have two or three witnesses, then you could determine the matter.
Yes.
Without that, like, let's say Allah was a true God. Let's say Allah was real.
Yeah.
Well, he's a Unitarian God. He might want people to send their kids to die for him, right? The suicide bombs and all, mm-hmm. going all the way back to Muhammad and his bloodthirstiness compared to Jesus who died for us.
Yes.
He might want that because he's really evil. And how could Allah know if he's good or evil? Turns out that's a very difficult question to answer.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, and it's called Euthyphro's Dilemma. And we should do a show on that on Real Science mm-hmm. Radio, Euthyphro's Dilemma. If people Google Euthyphro's Dilemma, a Christian answer, I think our article on that topic might be number one or two.
Number one or two, yep.
Yeah. So that's in the Bible.
The Bible. So if we look outside of the Bible, like what about space existing in three dimensions, height, width, and length?
Oh, I like that.
And we've talked about time. I mean, we had a show on time that I thought was great. It was I think well received.
realscienceradio.com/time.
Yes. And that's what? Past, present, and future.
Oh, I do like that. And then the electromagnetic force operates in positive, negative, and neutral.
Okay. Red, green, and blue.
Yeah, in grammar school, the tempera paints. I can remember sitting in first grade and being taught the red and yellow and blue were the three primary colors. Mm-hmm. But that is in pigment.
Pigment. And there's a difference between pigment and light.
Right. So when you're dealing with dyeing fabrics.
Okay. Fabrics
or paint.
Okay.
All right. You're dealing with paint. It's red, yellow, and blue. And from those colors, you make the other colors. Mm-hmm. But when you are talking about light waves, it's red, green, and blue. And if you want to make yellow, you mix green and blue.
Yeah.
Now, if you have green paint and blue paint, you mix them, you're not going to get yellow. But in light waves, in fact, if you've ever been a stagehand for a play in a drama class, if you want a white light, you mix a red light, a green light, and a blue light, and you get a white spotlight.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, wow. And that's the whole Isaac Newton thing, you know, and sunlight coming through a crystal hanging from a chandelier mm-hmm. and splitting into the prism.
Yep.
So the primary colors in light are red, green, and blue.
And in pigment, the three primary colors are red, yellow, and blue.
Yeah. So this number three
is pretty prominent.
It seems to permeate. In fact, Fred, we are human beings. We live on this third planet from the sun.
And matter is primarily in three states, solid, liquid, or gas.
Ooh, that's cool, right? What is the strongest shape for building?
A triangle.
A triangle is, right?
I'm not a construction guy, but I even knew that.
Yeah. Writers often give three examples. An artist group in threes, as in interior design, and even movie directors have the word trilogy. There's no other word for like two movies or four movies. It's just trilogy.
Well, there's quadrilogy and octology and quintrilogy.
And
you didn't hear those movies?
No.
They never got anywhere.
So sculpting, they do things in threes like interior designers. And
so what do you mean sculpting in threes?
Even sculpting, they have their rule of three. I love to read the writings of a physicist, Richard Feynman. He's a Nobel Prize winning physicist. He wrote that classic book, QED, on quantum electrodynamics. Mm-hmm. And when he won his Nobel Prize, 1965, his Nobel lecture, it blows your mind to realize how brilliant he was.
Yes.
He's died now, mm-hmm. and I'm afraid that he's not with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid, because God gives people the freedom to love him or not. But he asked the question in his book, QED, he asked the question, how many fundamental actions are there to account for nearly all phenomena in the universe regarding light and electricity? And that means almost all phenomena.
Yeah.
He said, how many fundamental actions are there to account for all this phenomena in the universe?
And he said, there are three.
Three with an exclamation mark.
Exclamation point.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. You know, this next one, I knew this one just because my wife took a photography class, mm-hmm. and they said group things in threes. I mean, she still says that.
The rule of thirds.
The rule of thirds.
Group things in three, and also the composition of your image. Even if you only have a single subject in your image, you divide the composition of the frame up into thirds. It's just so astounding. Genetic scientists,
yeah,
how about that?
Oh, yeah, and you know, this is my favorite topic, and you know, the DNA, mm-hmm. it's broken up. The language is in three-letter words.
And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah,
DNA
three-letter word language
uses only mm-hmm. words of three letters. I love that.
And it's the most efficient way for storage. They can't come up with a more efficient mm-hmm. mechanism mm-hmm. for
and
storing data.
And very fault tolerant.
Absolutely.
So even when
there's some
errors,
redundancy in it.
Yes.
And redundancy is a huge thing. I spent a lot of time in my career dealing with redundancy and the complications in mm-hmm. engineering. Mm-hmm. And yeah, really cool stuff. And so if you think about it, we humans are body, soul, and spirit.
Wow.
So genetically, the three-letter words, and we are body, soul, and spirit.
A tripartite man.
Yep.
And that makes sense because we're made
in
the
image
of yep. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. It's really cool thinking in threes like this.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is so fun. I'm glad Jamie added all those threes that are evident in the book of Genesis in the very first chapter.
Yep. From the get-go.
Yeah. Fred, mankind is made in God's image and likeness. These are two different words. Image refers to our form.
Mm-hmm.
And likeness, we are like God. That is, we're not God.
Yeah.
In fact, we're fallen. We need to be redeemed.
Mm-hmm.
But our likeness refers to our essence as sentient, morally responsible persons. We're self-aware. If a fish eats another fish, it's not wrong. We had a caller to Bob and Your Live, Fred.
Yeah, I heard that call.
15 minutes. He's from California. He was all bent out of shape because I asked him, is it morally wrong for a fish to eat another fish?
And he said, yes.
He said, yes. I gave him like 15 minutes to take it back. And he said, no, it's morally wrong for a fish. We got to start setting up schools for fish to attend to teach them not to eat one
right.
another.
Fish
we
education.
Pass
gray
a law.
Lawn.
We need to pass a law. It's not a good idea. It's the law. I mean, how absurd, right? But when you reject God, mm-hmm. you end up with absurdity.
Yeah, absolutely.
As Jesus said through his word, the fool says there is no God. So our likeness to God is that we are self-aware and we're morally responsible. So Charles Darwin, he figured we evolved from apes.
From apes, yeah.
Ape-like creatures.
Yeah, and aren't they always trying to make apes stand upright? They're trying to get them upright.
They want to find the fossils,
Lucy,
to show.
They'll mess around with, they'll take a saw and try to change.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah. And even though the inner ear shows that they were quadrupeds, they want them to walk upright. But it turns out that Charles Darwin's hope aside, the thousands of kinds of animals made by God, along with all the four-footed beasts, have a stooped stance. They basically look to the ground.
To the ground.
Some of them might look like off toward the horizon, but really to the ground. Whereas men and women, we stand upright with a heavenly gaze. For the first thing that God created, and Fred, I think this answers the challenges of the Jehovah's Witnesses, where they say that Jesus was a created being.
Yeah, yeah.
They confuse themselves on certain verses, like from Colossians 1, Revelation 3, and others, where what the Bible teaches, I believe, is that God created a form, an image of a head and a torso, shoulders, mm-hmm. arms, and legs. He created this form, and he created that for his son to indwell. That was, I think, the very first thing that God created, the form that his son would indwell in order to fellowship with human beings.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Right? Because God is a spirit, and a spirit does not have a form. And so then on the sixth day, God said, let us make man in our form, our image, right? And so that's the image that God made us in his image, not in the image of an ape or a worm or a bug.
Or a sponge.
Yeah, right. Grandpa Sponge and Grandma Sponge. That was a fun show we did. Jesus says that God made us this way. In fact, in Mark chapter 10, he says that God made us male and female from the beginning of the creation.
From the beginning of creation. So what about millions of years of death, disease, and suffering?
All those progressive evolutionists, all those creationists who are theistic evolutionists, forget
all that. How do they explain that?
They think that God made man after billions of years.
Yeah, billions of years of death, disease, suffering, because that's what we find in the fossil record.
And Jesus said from the beginning of the creation. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And so a fish can eat another fish without guilt, right? Because a fish is not made in God's image and likeness. Mm-hmm. But murder can only be committed against a human being, for God prohibited the shedding of innocent blood, as he says in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6.
So I can't murder a tomato or a turkey?
You can't.
You can't.
But why is it wrong to kill a person?
In the image of God, he made man.
Right.
For in the image of God.
Exactly. And that's why we support the personhood movement.
Yes.
Which is based on God created us and our rights come from him. Thank you, Fred Williams.
Thanks, Bob.
Another fun Real Science Radio show.
Brought to you by the number 3.
Yes. And our website, realscienceradio.com. This is our telethon month. The goal is to raise $35,000. It's very expensive. $30,000 just for the airtime for a year. Please help us. There's no foundation behind us. No mega church. It's you, us, and the Lord.
Three.
We need your help. May God bless you.
Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.
Hi, folks. Doug McBurney here. Hey, if you're like me, you can't imagine life without three things: God, guitars, and Bob Inyart Live. And while my God will always be there for me, and my guitar is paid for, keeping Bob Inyart Live on the radio is a labor of love that demands our attention every now and then. And now is that time. September is Bob's telethon month, and he needs your help to stay on the radio for another year. Bob's presence on the mighty 50,000-watt KLT in Denver gives him the ability to consistently book A-list interviews and promote godly ideas on the terrestrial airwaves. I'm asking you to call right now or go online to purchase any or all of Bob's eye-opening Christian resources available in written, audio, or video formats. And with each new monthly subscription for the telethon or a donation of $50 or more, you will receive Bob's newest DVD, How to Be a Christian Family, as a free gift. Call 1-800-8-ENYART right now or go to kgov.com and come alongside Bob's vital ministry and keep Bob broadcasting for another year. That's 1-800-8-ENYART or go to kgov.com, kgov.com right now to give Bob the essential support that only you can offer.